Hey, everybody, I'm Jody Vance.
And I'm George Affleck.
And once again, we are going to have to talk about the park board, and then we'll go provincial, and then we'll go federal, and then, of course, we will go international peace and beyond on...
Unspun!
Lord have mercy, George Affleck. We have got to talk about the park board again, dude.
The gift that keeps on giving.
Okay. Can you please explain what Mayor Ken... Okay. We're done here. Thanks for watching, everybody. Thanks for tuning
in. Honestly, I honestly do not understand this press release he sent out. I think it has to do with the provincial government's ruling about the referendum related to the relationship with the First Nations and their role in the future of the parks. And Ken Sim is worried about that the province might then decide certain parks will be given to the First Nations without the consent of the Vancouver voters if the Vancouver voters vote in favor of changing the park board governance in this referendum. Does that make sense? Does that help?
What a colossal waste of time. Waste of time. There are no park boards in any other jurisdiction, and their parks are fine. I was listening to the Mike Smith show. You actually, before we hit record, let's just tell the story because it's kind of funny. You're like, so you were on the Mike Smith show yesterday. It's like, no. I thought I saw you tweeting about something. I was tweeting about how the fact I was listening to the Mike Smith show, because you got to monitor the show you fill in on, and I like Michael. Yeah. So I'm listening to that, and he's like, we're going to talk about park board. In fact, we're going to have park board commissioner, chair Laura Christensen of Kitzpool, Free Kitzpool fame, the one that wouldn't table the motion to even discuss reopening
Kitzpool.
Right, she's
punted it.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, as political can get, who's supposed to be just taking care of parks. And so Mike had her on to discuss the referendum coming next fall. It'll be as part of our municipal election in Vancouver. We'll look on the back side of the ballot and we'll read the convoluted question that will ultimately ask, do you support getting rid of the park board? Or it will say, do you support keeping the park board? And it'll say it in a way that you're not really sure how you're going to answer it, because that's how these referendums usually work. Am I right, George?
You'll think you're saying no, but you're actually saying yes. Most lovely referendum.
Right. So, I mean, last week we were talking about, and it was breaking news just as we were doing this podcast last week, that the province had Christine Boyle had put it out there. We're going to do it. We're going to ask Vancouver voters whether or not they see value in the park board. And then we heard from the mayor saying we're going to save $70 million over 10 years by getting rid of the park board. But really, it's about red tape and bureaucracy. Like, everybody's exhausted. I know I'm exhausted by the park board. I am. I mean, the park board has done amazing things in years past. John Cooper, don't come at us, because we know there have been good things that have happened. But over the last, I'm going to say 10.
Well,
maybe, right? I mean, we're coming up on a decade.
2008, since the division got elected, when they decided to change the governance of the community centers, that's when things really, and they cut the budget of the park board significantly in 2008. So they strangled them, and then they tried to take control of the community center management. And so they fought two wars.
And then ABC got the majority of park board, and still it doesn't work. Like, it's wild. So then fast forward to today, you literally informed me of today's news, because I missed Ken Sim's tweet yesterday saying, we don't actually support the province's proposal on these details to do with the referendum because of our respect for the Musqueam and the Squamish and Tsleil-Waututh, which I'm like, what? What is that?
Yeah.
What? And and really the bad PR that Ken Sim is suffering when it comes to park board, let's be honest, is the naysayers, the people who do not support and are not fans of our current mayor, are saying all he wants to do is strategically move parks into his purview, under his control, so he can then develop parks, right? Which,
not true.
It is not true, no. But that's how the political game is played. So now take us through the spin. Where we go from here, John?
Well, and I think I have said this since Ken Sim started this nightmare, that the province will be apprehensive because of the legal quagmire with the First Nations. And they're, even though the First Nations are in partnership with Ken Sims' idea, they had a whole press conference about this. I've been told that in the provincial government, there's lawyers saying, don't do it. It's complicated. It's a governance issue. The
First Nation. Don't get rid of the park board.
Go down this road about governance of the park board, because that opens up a can of worms related to governance, the park board and First Nations, and Vancouver being a unceded territory, which was voted on and supported by the majority of council when I was there. That's what we were, and we respect that, and all these other things. And this is not a pro or con on the whole who should have control of the lands and all that stuff. But I guess the province decided, okay, well, if we're going to do this, let's make sure that there's clarity in that. We're also, because they're working on their own process with First Nations across BC.
You're right.
And so they don't want this decision to get into that. So they want to still have their ability to make their decisions as a provincial government with the First Nations. And that could include saying, okay, Stanley Park, it's yours. Here you go. Or whatever. I'm not saying that's going to be what they do, but that's the worry. And I think that's what Ken Sim is saying, even though it's very badly worded, or he didn't want to come out and say it, is that he doesn't want our parks to go to the First Nations, is what he's saying. But he's saying it in a way, oh no, this is about democracy and Vancouver voters need to, but you don't support park board governance? You don't support this? What's happening?
Out of one side of your mouth, you're saying that you're very connected to the First Nations and Indigenous peoples and wanting to work in conjunction with, but whoa, not about the parks though. We're not going to do it. Like, what is the downside?
He's not saying that. But that's what he is. That is what's happening.
That's what it feels like. It's like both sides out.
I'm not the only one willing to say it. That's what this is all about. I've been saying that since the beginning, that the challenge with First Nations and governance of our park board, if you're going to change governance, imagine if the federal government said, you know what, let's get rid of the provincial government in BC, which they, I guess they could do in a way, but okay, so then who's going to govern BC? Well, it's all unceded territory for the most part, except for a few deals. So that means it's handed back to the First Nation. So it's like this nightmare scenario. If you could turn back the clock, Ken, when you had the majority on council, imagine a world where you have all these people and you go, okay, we control park board and council. Let's have a meeting in public about the future of the park board and make some decisions. Okay, decision one, let's combine our engineering teams. Let's get rid of the engineering department in the park board, because why? Why do you need a separate engineering department when you have one of the most sophisticated engineering departments in North America, in Vancouver? Highly qualified teams of staff and machinery and yada, 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 that the park board cannot afford or have. So why not just, there's 90% of the park board budget right there that you could take care of within the city. Now let's focus, you park board as a team together, ABC, on the governance of what do we want the parks to look like? What things should be in the parks? Okay, let's do that. Now let's build it. Okay, engineering department, now the city of Vancouver, your tasks for this job, done. So you would be able to actually get a whole bunch of stuff done. Instead, he took this massive majority hits, threw it out, made all his ABC people quit, for the most part, lost his control of the park board, created chaos. Then people are screaming this is undemocratic. So then province says, yes, it seems a bit undemocratic to do this. We can't just manage. That would look bad for us. How about we do a referendum, which is what I had said. On the ballot next year.
Yeah.
Province says, yes, we're going to do it. But now they've thrown this little wrench in there, which Ken Sim can't support. And now it looks like he's against governance of the park board because people are confused. What is he going to do in the next election? He's going to go there and campaign against an independent park board? Is that or for a park board or against the park?
I've lost track.
It's going to cost millions and millions and saving 70 million. Yeah, you could have saved 70 million over 10 years, as you pointed out, by just fixing the engineering department within the park board and focusing governance on governance, not whether or not the pool should be open from Kits until October 1st, which it should have been. Burnaby's pool, by the way, along Renfrew, Boundary and 40th, their pool just closed last week, their outdoor pool.
And it was 17 degrees yesterday.
Yeah, the pool was 14. missed that. They heated a little bit, but people were swimming there.
Of course.
So I people mean, like it's, look it's at the crazy. Weather. Look at the weather.
But let's talk.
People,
let's,
anyways.
Okay. So park board and oh, the punctuation on my listening to the Mike Smith show, what I found really interesting is Laura Christensen did not defend herself very well in terms of defending the park board and its relevance. She kind of, democracy, as you said, it's just a bunch of buzzwords that happened because there's really no, this is why it's better. Basically, she kept saying, we don't have the data on that, which forgive me, but I've heard that before when she was telling everybody that she has all the data on how the lineups were so long at Kitzpühel that people were going to faint and maybe die waiting in line, which was just ridiculous. So there's always data, but she never actually shows you the data, but uses her position to halt things. Mm-hmm. And so we'll move over to another pool now because there was proof that the city and park board did not have the data that they claim to have on the Vancouver Aquatic Center and wanting to take what has traditionally been an Olympic-sized pool and an amazing one with a crumbling building around it. But the actual size of that pool, when you would go to Kitzpühel in the summer and go 137 and a half meters per length in the non-seasonal time of Kitzpühel, you'd move over to the Aquatic Center and you'd have to do 32 laps to do the same numbers. You'd do six over here because it was a 50-meter pool. And for those of us who love to swim, that's what we did. A 50-meter pool is, you know, saving grace for those who want to be active and fit. Like, nobody needs a lazy river. Nobody needs a plunge pool. A 25-meter pool is outdated and obsolete the moment it's built for people who want to be fit. It just not, is. It just
it's a lot of turning. A lot of turning.
You just won't do it. It's for aqua fit or whatever. But you could do that in the smaller community centers, not in the crown jewel. And what, $175 million we're going to spend on the aquatic center now? It's
how much was UBC's pool in that release you read?
I think it was
two giant pools,
hot
tubs, $40 million. And to be honest, it's a square box with a bunch of pools out there.
It's amazing. Have you been to that UBC?
I've been to that one. Yeah, it's nice.
It's awesome.
Bouncy castles in it.
It's clean and it's got areas so that the kids and families can have a good time. You can watch your kids, you know, doing the lazy river thing, or you can be way over there and you can be swimming in the 50-meter pool. Or you can be going off the high dive. There's just so much to be done there. It's so brilliant and at one quarter of the price. But the big issue with the aquatic center now is, and there's a Supreme Court case that is being a class action suit that's being taken to the BC Supreme Court about it. I know more time and money, but an FOI, Freedom of Information, was done to see if there were any of these reports that the park board and the city said that they've done. We can't make it bigger because there might be archaeological artifacts found if we go beyond the current footprint and, you know, what it'll look like and how many parking spaces and, like, there were so many excuses, and they said they'd done all of this research and done these reports on.
They weren't.
Haven't done any. They just decided to say that they had the data. So it's such spin, George. Like, where's the accountability for that? How about you're fired?
Well, that's the choice of the people of Vancouver in October, 1 year from now, I think, or was it the 14th? I forget. It's this week, next year.
Our parks are a mess, and our pools are even worse. And what do we get for it? A bunch of infighting people, because the park board is fighting amongst themselves like mean girls in high school. It's terrible.
They have been since 2008. And it's all
it's
politics.
Wild. It's so wild.
And but didn't you say that she said on the commissioner said Christensen that she was hedging, or she was saying that likely the voters will say, get rid of the park board, didn't she?
Well, that was it. I love Mike Smith because he will ask the most uncomfortable question, which is like, what do you think's going to happen? Do you think that the park board will survive a referendum? And the answer was like,
That's a.
And then Mike goes to break and we come back after the break as we do, you know, when we fill in there, it's like, okay, now we're taking calls, call in every single caller. Almost said exactly the same thing, which is telling because you don't screen calls and set up people in the sense that you try and curate what the answer is going to be. You open phone lines. That means come on in, tell me what you think. And everybody was like, get rid of this. I would be, I'd be shocked. And that was my tweet. It's like, right. Not surprised. And I'm there. I'm done with this. And I hate, that.
If Ken Simmons is correct, and there is this situation that's very, if he was more clear, if he was more brave in his wording to say what he was really saying, I think the voters might say a little no to that. No,
right.
No, hold on.
That's the spin there, right, George? I think what Ken Simmons trying to do is be like, just so you know, I'm totally protecting the parkland. I would never develop it. Like, just come out and say, parks will be protected. This rumor about me wanting to like pave paradise and put up a parking lot or build whatever on Stanley Park, you know, turn it into a bunch of towers. Like, just say the quiet part out loud.
Mm-hmm. I think his intentions, ironically, were along the line with us.
Yeah.
He said it wasn't running properly, but it's just his approach, not effective, clearly. And now now he's put himself into a terrible corner to not support a referendum to support, so that he's a confused electorate, though, generally vote no. So if a question, but it depends on the question on the ballot, as you said earlier, is a yes or no is a yes. If it's a negative question, then people are like, is that a yes or no? And they don't know what they're voting for, which is quite common. That's how the no pro rep question was asked. That's how the train to the airport, when that reference came along.
Oh, right. Canada
Line. Really confusing. And it was in Olympics with all these questions. Like, they're always confusing. Then that,
yeah. Do you want to spend $330 million on blickety bockety bloop?
Yes.
And you're like, no, I don't think I do. And then when you read it back, it's like, oh, to actually restore all of our community centers. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Shoot.
So the clarity or the confusion of the question will be what, and I'm not even sure, because I'm pretty sure the city has to put the question on the ballot. They get to decide. So what he's saying is weird. I'm pretty sure they have to get approval from the province for what the question is. But I would have thought that the council themselves get to decide the question that goes on the ballot.
We should look into that. I don't know the answer to that.
If they do have, whoever has control of the question, you'll know what their goal is.
Motivation is.
What they want the end to happen, because if it's confusing, then they want the opposite to happen. If that makes sense.
They'll take it to no. Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh my God, I can't believe it. Hold on, let me just check. So we're almost 18 minutes into the podcast and always.
Sorry, everybody.
Sorry. Oh, okay. Okay.
Aren't you glad you don't live in, have this in
Vancouver?
Greg Hodge, potentially next mayor of Coquitlam, Richard Stewart announcing after, I don't know how many years, 20 years, and before that, MLA. He's stepping down, will be running again, and he's endorsed Craig Hodge, an old friend of mine. He ran for council the same year as I did. Good counselor, good guy, former photographer at Tri-City News and the Vancouver Sun, so journalist.
Knows his stuff.
Knows his stuff, very involved in the community, good guy.
This is not a performative person. This is
he's a hardworking guy. And, I think he got, he was top of the polls with like 90. It's like Brad West level of support for him in Coquitlam. So I would say it's a no-brainer.
More of that would be so good.
Yeah. Well, Richard's been a good mayor. He's very candid.
Richard has been a good mayor and always available to talk when there's anything to be discussed, whether it be controversial, negative, positive, what have you. He's like, yes, I'm available.
Yeah.
Ask me anything, which we enjoy. Quickly, BCGEU strike continues to escalate. It's interesting. Can you just give our listener, our viewer, an idea of why liquor stores and cannabis stores are being targeted? Because government employees are engineers and scientists. But why?
Yeah, I think we talked about this when I started this. It was hit them where it hurts, right? Hit us where it hurts. And the thing that we mostly attribute to our day-to-day life and the provincial government is liquor. And if you do cannabis. And now the distribution of that is severely, it doesn't exist. So you can go to wine stores that sell wine direct from the wineries. And you can go direct to distilleries that do gin and vodka and all that stuff, which is great. But if you're a restaurant, you can't purchase from these places. So I was at a restaurant the other night, and there was one wine on the wine list. They were down to one bottle of Pronk. I said, I'll take that.
I will take that wine.
whatever that is.
I will.
Never heard of it.
I would like it. My God.
By next week, there'll be none of that.
The escalating to include the picket lines, including more government employees and the government, the BC government, just continuing to table that 3.5% increase. Where does this crest? How does this?
I mean, it generally they get what they want to the end, don't they?
Is there a Me Too clause with the government employees? Like, is there?
They can mandate it back, of course, right. But they still have to negotiate. Where's Vince Reddy? Where's Vince Reddy?
Why don't we just start with Vince Reddy on all of these things? Like, just sit down with the moderator or mediator, and the mediator will decide what's fair, and we go with that.
Yeah.
Like, totally. There's so much. I guess you have to. I should take that back. You have to have the right to strike. You have to have the right to stand up for what your earnings are. You know. I've been a member of the Fast Walk Union back in the day when I worked at KFC, BC nice. Food and Services Workers Union of Canada. And, you know, when minimum wage was $4, I made 11. I paid my dues and I had, I've worked in remember the Coach House?
Yeah.
I worked in the bar at the Coach House when the live bands were on, not during the day. But I made, $15.50 an hour when minimum wage was $9 or $10. So, when we're talking about unions, the amount of money that you make is bolstered by, coming together and working hard and standing up for one another. There's a reason for that. So I don't want to say, just because you're coming from a liquor store, I need you to stop.
Yes,
I don't want it to appear that we're like, you should be legislated back to work because we don't like it, and because you can see a reason for standing up. But there needs to be that mediation that is meaningful, and it feels right now that it's kind of like Canada Post. It's every time we turn around, somebody's on strike. Right?
Seems these days, and the times are tough right now. So as soon as they get them back to work, they're going to have to slash and burn. Gets cut in the budget to make up for the billions that's going to have to be spent on whatever deal they come up with? And right. And the government already was facing that challenge anyways because of what's happening with the economy. They have to find efficiencies. But also, we have to find new revenue sources. Of course, this government doesn't want to do that. They don't want to do anything because they don't, whatever, divvy. We're not going to build any pipelines. We're not going to do anything in this province. We built a bridge that's still being built to New West. That's about it. That's all we'll do.
I'm still waiting for that tunnel to be replaced. Come on. Nobel Peace Prize went to Maria Corina Machado and an economist from Canada, Peter Howitt.
Mm-hmm.
Howitt. Yeah. Not Donald Trump.
But then the Venice, she said, the Nobel Peace Prize woman, he said first, I think that happened last week.
Yeah.
And he said, she said, I should have had it. And then it turns out that she did say that. And she came out in a press conference.
She did. She did.
And meanwhile, thank you, meanwhile in Norway, they're like, can we, what? Can we get that back?
Isn't it weird though, that the Venezuelan freedom fighter, who's been in hiding really, like and her acceptance to it, like watching the committee member from Norway calling her and being very emotional about informing her that she had won this honor, and her like, well, it shouldn't be about me, it's about us, and the move, like, just so different than what you see in the campaign leading up to this year.
Hopefully we'll win it next year, I'm sure, but as I said last
week, look at what's happening.
It's impressive.
The hostages are home, and I gotta give credit where credit is due, man. He used his very powerful office and stomped his foot and said, if this isn't done, then something's gonna happen, and everybody got to the table. So you gotta give him credit for that. But he's also blowing up Chicago and Portland, and like that doesn't feel peaceful.
I know.
No, and it's tear gas in Chicago seems really weird.
But at least the blow up frog creatures in Portland have got it covered. So,
and the No Kings thing that's happening this weekend, right? That's on Saturday.
Yes.
That's apparently I was listening to the organizer of that, and he said that they've gotten like four times the RSVPs and the 2,600 events that are happening this Saturday. You know, No Kings, peaceful protest. And they're saying, people, come out in your blow-up costumes and come out with musical instruments, come out with signs and flags and things that say how much you love your country, not how much you dislike an individual, and keep it peaceful. And I guess that's
well,
what the speech is about.
If it remains that way, but it seems like these things seem to be turning violent for whatever reason. So if somebody dies, I mean, what will that be like in the 1960s when there was that riot about peace and a whole bunch of students were killed? That was a big turning point for I think it was Nixon or was it Johnson? I'm trying to remember, but it turned around the mood of the country. Excuse me, I've got a bit of a cold.
A little bit of a cold.
So yeah, I don't know. It's crazy. I mean, it's interesting to see how, you know, Mark Carney's dealing with Trump and how this, what kind of game is all the, what is, it's just all like.
Did you see that in Egypt when Prime Minister Carney went for the announcement, the sort of mission accomplished signing of the agreement that didn't have any of the major actual parties involved other than Netanyahu? It was very performative, it seemed, but our prime minister attended and got called out by President Trump during his speech and turned around and said, oh, and where's Canada? I love Canada. And gave it and turned around and said, there you are. There's the president of Canada. And then after, Mark Carney goes up and they catch a hot mic and he goes, oh, yeah, that's very nice
of you to
call me. Thanks for calling me president. And Donald Trump was like, did I say that? And then he goes, good thing I didn't call you governor. And I'm like, oh, God. I mean,
that's pretty funny.
It is pretty funny. But we've got, you know, big automakers that were supposed to build a plant in Ontario that are now going to build a plant in the United States. We got like some.
But then you got China saying, can we just have our, we'll build our Chinese vehicles in Canada. Let us have access to your market. And we'll buy your soy or your canola.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, 5 years ago, we were talking about China and we're worried about anything and them infiltrating and accessing our market and how bad that was. And now it's like, oh, maybe China's a good choice. That's a good solution to relying on America, which, you know, was what Gordon Campbell, our former premier, was saying, you know, 20 years ago. It was like, we need to build better relationships with the East, Eastern countries, China, everyone, and not rely on America as much. And he did that. And then we pulled back from that because of fear and with good reason. And some of these countries in Asia are, you know, dictatorships. And we don't support like America because they're heading that, or if they're heading that route, then, but meanwhile, we're okay with other communist and dictatorship countries and Wallace. Like, it's like,
it's world order is upended. I think that's, it's how do we maintain a healthy economy in a time where world order is upended? And in particular, when your greatest trading partner, and we are the US's second largest trading partner, right? And every day is a new, we ripped up the agreement. Like, there's so many, I'm watching the conservative party leader just demanding that there's some kind of agreement be done. It's like, but to what end? Like, we had an agreement.
And we still do. It's in effect till next year.
We do.
So.
We do. Yeah. But then also softwood lumber gets an extra 10%.
Like,
just like,
that's always been our troubling one, the old softwood lumber.
Softwood lumber and the dairy and the auto industry and the, you know. And so here we are playing this game of like, and it's
crazy. Don't worry, Park Board's got it all figured out.
Thank God. I can't believe we spent 18 minutes on Park Board. Apologies. We'll come up with something new next week if they can just figure their stuff out. You know what I'm saying? Follow along as you do. Unspunpodcast.com. Tell your friends. George and I are here every Thursday just talking about things. We always think we might not have anything to talk about. Follow George on Twitter. George.
_
Affleck, George _Affleck. I am Jody Vance, Jody with a Y. And I hope you feel better.
Thank you. I'm fighting. I'm going to win it. It was my birthday yesterday, and I was kind of
rough. Was it yesterday? That's right. I thought it was day before. Happy right. birthday. Happy belated.
Well,
I did reach out to you.
You
with
did.
The birthday.
I got the DM. Thank you.
I get the DM. You're not feeling well. You got a little bit of a cold. I just got my notification for my son that his COVID and flu shot is ready and available.
Oh.
And I went to book, and it was available today.
Oh,
so
wow.
Keep your eyes peeled on that in your inboxes. Just the season. Get your flu shot. Get your COVID booster. There's no downside. Protect yourself. It's free here.
Or don't, I guess.
Or don't. Yeah.
You have the choice. It's not a problem, everybody.
I'm just saying.
There is a measles outbreak in northeast or northeast.
If you're
DC
going
right
into
now.
A long-term care home, please get a flu shot. Please get a COVID shot. I go into my long-term care home every day. So I'm going to go get one here and one here and make them go a little bit lower and your arm won't hurt as much. You're welcome. Peace out.
Bye.